You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Number one pick in the NHL draft, with the men that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lars Eller!
I'm every trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is Drop Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Yes, the first 2 days have gone so well, they invited us back for day three to close out the week. It is Ty and Rick here on DPHRO and Rothenberg, 98.7 ESPN. We're talking to you for the next 3 hours. 6:45, we're doing morning roast. DJ Ray Santee will join us there. But from now until then, it's all of us right here on 98.7 ESPN, 800-919-3776. Hit us up on Twitter. At DR on ESPN, at HDumpty39, at Ty D. Butler. And let's get it popping on these phone lines, 800-919-3776. Yankees and Mets, both losers last night. We'll break that down. Deshaun Watson news, he gets 11 games. We'll react to that as well. A random neck procedure that had nothing to do with football for one of our NFL quarterbacks and Daniel Jones. Talk about that as well. Jets and Giants action, preseason still underway. So we'll do it all. But right now we start by saying top of the morning to one Rick DPHO. Rick,
top of the morning. What's going on, Ty? Wakey, wakey. I didn't want to say this because I'm still shook after the Ray Santiago revelation after the show yesterday.
But, can we bring that to air or no?
No, not yet. I'm not ready. He's not ready. Okay. We'll have to feel that one out. But you mentioned Daniel Jones and the non-football related neck procedure. I didn't want to say this. I was told to keep my mouth shut, but that's actually where Dave is right now as we speak. Dave is getting his neck tightened up right now. The giblets are back, and he wants to make sure he's ready. He's ready for football season, so he's getting all that tightened up.
Wait, so what was he doing with his neck that he got injured? I'm always skeptical about
those
types
of
injuries.
No, there's no injury. This was because he had a little turkey neck going.
Good times!
And we had to tighten it up.
My jib is beautiful.
So that's why he's away right now.
My giblets are going away. Look at that.
So when they say he's away on an assignment, that's what they're referring to.
Yeah, he's like one of these big Hollywood stars that you don't see for like, you know, a couple weeks or a month, and they come back and their face is all tight and they look younger.
Well, I'm going the other way. I think he's going to come back and we're going to see tremendous weight gain, like 25 pounds heavier. The cheeks are getting fat. The beard is growing out. He's all gray. I think we're going the other way there. I don't think we're getting.
Would that surprise you though? The roller coaster. I mean, he's on vacation. He's probably gorging himself right now as we speak.
Dave Rothenberg returns on Monday, but you won't be here. So here's my concern. I thought about this before we get into the Yankees. I want to avoid them as long as possible. But so you're 3 hours, or let's be more accurate, 2 hours and 27 minutes away from a much needed, much deserved vacation. Am I getting a fully engaged Rick, or is this I'm mailing it and checking out because, you know, I'm done. It's just over.
I'm emptying the tank.
You're going to empty the tank today.
Everything I got. Could go off the rails. I don't know where it's headed.
I hope it does. It's Friday, man. Let's have some fun.
I'm a little fatigued. I blame my wife for making me go to dinner, but I'll give you everything I have, Ty, everything.
I'm a little fatigued. I blame my wife as well, but not for dinner. It's for something else. But let's get into the Yankees. How about that?
A little pregnant loving. I like that. See, that's my favorite. I like that.
Let's get into the Yankees. Rick, so here is why Yankee fans complain. And you want them to enjoy the season more. You want them to be more respectful of Brian Cashman, who's had this team above 500 every year in my existence. I was born in 93. I've never seen the Yankees go under 500. But you get to the trade deadline, and your biggest splash is a guy who literally last night wrapped up his second worst start of the season. His first worst start was the first game he pitched for the Yankees. So since he's come to New York, he's had his two worst starts of the season, and that was your big splash. A team that desperately needed to add an arm in the rotation. You didn't get Castillo because apparently they didn't like you. You know, the Reds didn't like the minor leaguers you had to offer. You bring in Frankie Montas, and I'm not going to kill him yet. The Sonny Gray conversation's already starting, but we can't get there yet. It's just when you see the early returns on this acquisition, not great if you're Brian Cashman of the Yankees.
No, I think Kay said it perfectly. I mean, we sat here yesterday during the show talking about, you know, how big that win was. You know, the fact that Donaldson was able to hit that walk-off grand slam, and just, was that the moment? Was that the spark this team needed to get back on track? And Kay said it perfectly. In baseball, you know, the momentum will last as you know, long as
the next day's starting pitcher.
That's it. And yesterday, unfortunately for the Yankees, and it was in that second inning that, again, you're in that spot where you're right back where you started. Like, Montas is supposed to be the guy who you feel comfortable as your second, you know, he's your game two starter in the postseason. And let's face it, I mean, he's not lived up to the billing. That's not who he's been, right? I mean, you have four-pitch walk to Whit Merrifield. Now, listen, Whit Merrifield, he's good, but he bats ninth in their lineup. And you walk him on four pitches, and, you know, before you know it, you're down five runs. It's tough, man. It really is.
It's tough to come back from that, especially for a team that, as we keep alluding to, has struggled so much offensively. You get DJ back in the lineup. He gets you two hits. But, again, Judge 0-for-4. You get nothing from Benintendi, to the point where, I mean, another addition of it got so bad at Yankee Stadium, this happened. I don't know if you caught this in the eighth inning. Got so bad at the stadium, Benintendi strikes out. Yankee fans cheering, "We want Gallo, we want Gallo." So, I mean, how quickly we've turned. Joey Gallo is out in L.A. hitting home. Every time I go on Twitter, I'm watching him hit another home run. Meanwhile, Yankee fans who booed him out of town to the point where he had to talk about it, it became this whole big thing, they're chanting, "We want Gallo." And then you wonder why no one wants to play here in New York.
Well, it's amazing, though, man. And this is, it's funny. Anyone that's played sports, even as a kid, as you grow up and you think it's all about, you know, how fast you can run, how high you can jump, you know, whatever it is. Like, you want to, it's all about skill development. And then you see, you know, as you get older, when you, coaches keep telling you, like, "Hey, I'm telling you, man, that 90% of this game is mental." But 90%, and you're like, "No, it's not. Come on, stop it." And then you see stuff like Joey Gallo, where you mentioned Sonny Gray, like, it is like a lot of your success depends on how you handle things mentally. And just, let's just hope for Yankees fans, because I'm sure we'll take a bunch of phone calls on it today, that that's not going to be the case with Frankie Montas, because I mean, he's going to be important. If you I mean, I texted you guys last night, you better hope like hell Severino comes back and looks great when he comes back. But I mean, when you look at their rotation, he's going to be a big factor if this team's going to make a run to the World Series.
Which is so scary that we're now at the point where Severino, as talented as he is becoming one of the key cogs atop the rotation. Like, I remember doing a show this past weekend, and I think it was Jake, big Yankee fan here at the station, mentioned, you know, Severino coming out the bullpen. I said, no, if the Yankees are to be successful this year, he has to be part of the rotation. Like, they just don't have enough depth. And by the way, Rick, speaking of Brian Cashman, my knee-jerk reaction when he traded Jordan Montgomery was I was astounded. It just made no sense to me. And the further we get removed from that trade, it becomes even more just mystifying, because all Jordan Montgomery has done since he's gone to St. Louis is win. He's 3-0 with an ERA about like 1. And the Yankee rotation has been the biggest question mark for years. So for you to deal a guy like that and trade him for Harrison Bader, who comes into the team wearing a walking boot, it just hasn't been a good trade so far. I never understood it. I don't think I'm ever going to understand it. Not that Monty is this, you know, electrifying picture, but when you're a team desperate for arms, trading one of your most reliable guys just never made sense to me.
Well, here's the thing, and I can speak from experience right now as a Mets fan, and you're going to get a chance to see this in the next series. is you can never have enough starting pitching. But Brian Cashman's telling you, listen, man, I mean, I'm building this thing for October. And right now, Harrison Bader, when he gets out of the boot, is going to give us a better chance in October. Like, Jordan Montgomery is not going to be a factor in the postseason. And again, but
how do you look at the rotation and come to that conclusion? How do you look at the staff?
Well, here's the thing, though. First of all, two things about Jake. He's a huge Yankees fan. I get it. And I listen to him on Saturdays. He's the one that sent this thing into a spiral with the whole Clay Holmes pitcher he tweeted.
Oh, my God.
Clay Holmes hasn't been the same since.
What a disaster.
And the other thing is, as a Yankees fan, how as a Yankees fan do you not realize that when the moves were made, that they're counting on Severino coming back and being in that rotation? Not going to put him in the bullpen. They have to. They don't have a choice. Like, Severino's going to have to be a starter when he comes back. And I think that's part of the reason why they put him on the 60-day, is just to make sure that they keep him healthy, so when he does come back, he can step into that role.
You're a professional athlete, so I'll defer to you on this. But just as a fan, I could never get behind this idea that an injury is some sort of blessing in disguise, especially for a pitcher dealing with a shoulder discomfort. A guy who in recent history has had lat issues and shoulder issues and arm issues. I never looked at the Severino injury and said, you know what, this could be a blessing in disguise because he hasn't pitched a lot of innings. You don't want that to catch up to him. Severino, like, in theory, you want your starters, best case scenario, to give you somewhere around 30 starts.
Yep.
Which is Severino did back-to-back seasons in 2018 and 2019. Only problem is since the conclusion of the 2018 season. So he did it in 2017 and 2018. Since the conclusion of that 2018 season, Severino has started 19 games combined in 3 years. And now Rick's telling me this is a guy who I'm going to have to depend on come October once you get past Gerrit Cole, because who's the arm? It's Gerrit Cole, then who else? Luis Severino.
Nasty Nestor.
Not a lot of playoff experience there.
Well, yeah, but that was, again, I mean, that when you looked at this team, and it, I don't want to say it was boring to talk about the Yankees, but, I mean, when you roll off 52-18, like, what is there to talk about? Like, you're just nitpicking. But you have to talk about something, and you would always talk about, okay, as good as the rotation is now, you mentioned Severino, how many games he started. So injuries concern, not a lot of innings. Tyone, same kind of deal. Nasty Nestor, going to be asked to do something that he's never done before and pitch a ton of innings. And then all of a sudden, you know, after going through an entire regular season where he's pitching all this innings, ask him to be a factor in the postseason. Like, those were the question marks that were around this team. And now they're rearing their ugly head. Like, and as far as your question about, you know, athletes, you know, thinking an injury is a blessing in disguise, athletes don't think that. We don't think that. Being hurt is the absolute worst thing ever.
You want to be out there with your team.
Because I'm telling you right now, Ty, being injured is way harder than having to play. Like, playing is the fun part. Being injured and having to do the rehab and all that other crap stinks. I can't even tell you how many tennis dates I made with, like, 75-year-old women at rehab. Like, oh, hey, we're going to go play tennis. I'm busy. I can't play tennis. Really nice ladies, but I don't want to be playing tennis. I want to be actually playing hockey. We as the media, but as fans, look at it that way because that's the only way to look at it. Like, I was saying the same thing about Jacob deGrom when Max Scherzer got hurt. When you got a guy that's had a history of injury and can give you, when he's right, spurts of really good, like, really good performance, what you're saying to yourself is that, okay, if Severino's out now, he comes back, he's healthy, now we only have this limited amount of time where he actually can, you know, needs to stay healthy, and maybe he can do that. Like, that's for us as fans, the silver lining.
But the limited amount of time, it just so happens to be the most important stretch of the season where you're playing do or die baseball the rest of the way. For a guy who, I just gave it to you, the last 3 years, can't count on him to stay healthy. And now I'm asking him to be the second best pitcher in the rotation, even though, I mean, look, Gerrit Cole, he's being paid to be the ace, and, you know, he is an electric pitcher when he's on, but he's also got some bad moments as well. We go back not too far to that Red Sox game last year at Fenway Park where Nathan Eovaldi outdueled him. So a rotation littered with question marks is something that we've been talking about all season, but it comes back to this, and this is how we started Wednesday. So I think two things can happen. I tried to explain this to Dave, and I'm trying to get it in your mind. like Yankee fans all season long, I don't think it was a lack of enjoyment and a lack of appreciation for what they were watching. It was historic. It wasn't just what the team was doing, but Aaron Judge putting together one of the most remarkable seasons we've ever seen. It's just that your mind immediately goes to, all right, how does this bode for October? We've seen this team have successful regular seasons. Aaron Boone's first 2 years, 2018, 2019, they won a combined 203 games. And I believe it was only one playoff series that they won in that span. So we've seen it before, only to be met by failure in October. And now we're starting to see the same problems, Rick. It's the starting rotation. It's the untimely hitting. It's base running blunders at the worst spots. You know, defensive miscues, where we saw with Aaron Hicks the other day. It's the same. It's been
the
same
issue.
With
Donaldson.
With Donaldson, yeah. Yep. It's the same. It's the same problem.
I get it. I understand that. But, I mean, this is, again, I mean, you can't go into a season like that. Otherwise, you're going to drive yourself nuts. That was our point. Like, if your mindset is always going to be, this team is going to let us down, at least enjoy it when they're actually playing well.
But I think you were enjoying it. It's just, you know how, like, Jeter throughout the documentaries, like, you know, on to the next year, on to the next year. Yankee fans, in their minds, are constructed that way, where it's you win today, but we're already on to the next game. How does tomorrow shake out? All right, how does next month look? How does September, October? It's toxic. I get it. I get what you're saying, and especially as a Met fan. This is not to take shots at you, but you're watching a Met team who, as I keep mentioning, hasn't won a playoff game in 7 years, so you're able to fully enjoy it. But if you get to the place where you aspire to be and this team is competitive and contending every single season, you're going to be right here, Rick. You're going to be where the Yankee fans are. Where it's like, in a regular season, good, but got to see it done in October.
Yeah, which is fine, which is where you want to be. Like, I have no problem with, you know, with having high expectations and then ultimately maybe being disappointed. But I can't live my life where I'm just so focused on what's going to happen or the disappointment I'm going to have in the postseason that I fail to enjoy the regular season. Because the reality for what we do and the kind of fans that we are, we watch every single one of these games. And I'm going through it with my football team. You're going through it with your football team. Giants fans are going through it with their football team. It sucks. Having to turn on the television and feel like it's a job to watch your team play is the worst. It's the worst.
It is.
Especially when you got to watch both teams. For us, we got to watch both.
Yeah.
So at 1 o'clock, both teams play. I got to watch one game and tape the other one. I watch one garbage game, and then I got to turn around and watch another garbage game.
And then sometimes we end up with a 9 o'clock London game. It's like I got to wake up early to watch a garbage football team, and then at 1 o'clock watch another garbage football team. But I hear you. Want to hear reaction from the Yankee fans? Hit us up on Twitter, Ty D. Butler, DR on ESPN, HDumpty39, and ring up the phone lines, 800-919-3776. We see the calls coming in. We'll also get to the Mets as well. No reason to panic, but, I mean, what you saw the last four games against the Braves can't make you feel good. So we'll get Rick's thoughts on that. But coming up, we'll talk some more Yankees. We'll hear from Aaron Boone. We will hear from Jacob DeGrom as well. Your phone call is coming up next right here on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Love the tunes from Santi. DNR right here on 98.7 ESPN. Ty and Rick. Rick, you know I'm a numbers guy. So how about this? Yankees in August, 4-12. Well, how bad is that, you ask? Here's the list of teams worse than the Yankees in that stretch. The Tigers. That's the entirety of the list. So we went from, are they the 98 Yankees, to only the Tigers have been worse in August. That is a far fall from where the Yankees were earlier this season.
All right, so small sample size. How about this stat? And there was a bunch, like between both games, like some of the graphics that were being thrown up last night, like the DeGrom graphics. But it's since May 17th. At May 17th, it's a large, this is
big sample size.
Big time sample size. The Baltimore Orioles have the best record in the AL East.
Which is so shocking. I mean, they were sellers at the deadline, traded away Trey Mancini, which has to drive you crazy if you're an O's fan. But that's I saw that graphic last night, too. That's crazy, Rick.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine being that. I mean, you're sitting there complaining, whining. Here we go again. We're going to lose in the postseason. And the Baltimore Orioles are just selling off at the deadline. They finally have a chance to make the playoffs, and they're selling off at the deadline.
Doesn't make any sense, but I'm trying my best to stay focused and understand that, you know, this team's dealing with injuries. But there are some things that aren't injury related. Trading for a pitcher who's just been bad so far. Now, he won against the Red Sox this past Sunday. By the way, I didn't turn that game off in favor of Stranger Things, so you'd be proud of me. Watch the entirety of
I shouldn't have to be proud of you. It should go without saying that you don't turn off a Yankees Red Sox game to watch Stranger Things.
I'm so mad at you that you didn't understand that I was clearly joking. Like, if you thought I really turned Yankees Red Sox game off for a Netflix series, it's just disappointing. Clearly, you don't know me the way that I
mean. Listen,
you would.
If you're gonna stray away from the game, maybe turn on The Offer or The Terminal List.
Stranger
By the way,
thing.
If you haven't seen The Offer right now, you gotta, I mean, watch it immediately.
Well, so this past Sunday, first time I watched The Godfather Part 1.
Whoa, time on. How old are you?
29.
And you had this is the first time watching
first
The Godfather?
First time.
I'm embarrassed.
I'm a young guy. What, that movie came out in the 70s?
Yeah, that's fine. It's maybe it's one of the greatest movies of all time. Maybe the greatest movie of all time.
And so I've heard that it's actually better when you watch it the second time. So
well, watch The Offer first. Watch two, watch Godfather 2, and then watch The Offer before you watch Godfather 1 again.
Look at him, that's my boy. Offer, then 1. So we're just nixing 3 from...
Yeah, you don't need... I mean, you can watch 3 when you want, but watch 2 for sure, and then watch The Offer and watch Godfather 1 again.
All right, we'll do it. That's all. You can act like a man! And, you know, it won't come at the expense of watching Yankee games, but... we'll see what happens there. Let's start on the phone lines, batting leadoff, Andrew in New Jersey. What's up, Andrew?
What's going on, man? So my point is that I have 2 points I'm going to make real quick. One, how many times is Brian Cashman going to pass up on a big trade for a guy that we need for a prospect that we never end up seeing or we do see, and we bring him up and he stinks? They passed up with Floreal. They're passing up trades with Volpe when we need Castillo. Meanwhile, Oswaldo Peraza is a higher prospect, and he's probably going to come up before Volpe. And he just always makes all the wrong deals at the trade line deadline. How do you get a guy like Montes that was 4-9 in Oakland and had over a 3 ERA? Like, I don't know what he saw in this guy. I really don't. And I'm just tired of the we want to win championships, not a championship. Well, we're not even close to a championship, and the one guy that we need in this deadline was Castillo, hands down, and we didn't get him. And to allow Aaron Boone to continue to manage his team is mind-boggling, because he shouldn't be allowed to let this happen on his watch. And at some point, it's
yeah,
either
but what do you want him to do, though? See, that's what I don't understand. First week of the season, it was, you know, doom and gloom. This is going to be more of what we've seen. They haven't fixed the problems. And then all of a sudden they go on this run where they're, you know, 52-18 in their first 70 games. And Aaron, so now we all of a sudden we're taking no phone calls. Aaron Boone can clearly manage, right? Like he's you know, going to win. He's going to win Manager of the Year. Brian Cashman made all the right moves.
Anybody can manage this team, though.
Okay, but what do you want him to do, though?
With a payroll like that, anybody, you could put anybody in that seat with a payroll and it's, they're giving him. Aaron Boone isn't doing anything special, but when the team is losing, that's when you need a good manager to somehow come around. And look, I'm not putting all the blame on Boone.
To do what, though, Andrew? That's my question. Answer my question, though. To do what? What would you like Aaron Boone to do? He can't go out there and pitch for Frankie Montas. Like, what do you want him to do? Aaron Boone's two for his last 21. Like, what do you want him to do?
I understand that, but, like, the saying is you can't fire the player. You have to fire the manager. Maybe firing the manager, as extreme as it sounds, gets his team fired up.
But you're still not, Andrew, you're still not answering the question. Before we get to firing the manager, what should he be out there doing to help this team not be, along with the Tigers, as one of the worst teams in August?
I think he needs to help hold players more accountable. Every press conference he goes to, we got to play better. Oh, this guy, yeah, he's getting good. Oh, he's coming around. I understand he's trying to protect his players, but at a point, it gets to a point where you got to go a little old school and you got to get in on these players. Let them know they stink. They're not playing good. The sugarcoating that he does is just, it's too much for me. Like, there's never anything bad said, you know, and you don't always have to do it public, but even if it's done behind the scenes and nobody knows about it, he's not obviously doing what a good manager should
do. Which we don't know. Andrew, thank you for the call, but we don't know what's happening behind the scenes. We don't know this idea that, well, he has to hold his players accountable publicly. Well, he might be doing it behind closed doors. And I just don't know that going out there and saying, you know what? A reporter asked him, your evaluation of Frankie Montas last night. Well, he stinks. And since he's been here, he's been pretty bad. Not a good trade so far. Is that helping the team? Is that going to help the Yankees go on some 11-game winning streak? Like, I just think that this fallacy where the manager has to come out and rip his players because it'll immediately lead to some attitude change, I just don't buy into it. It sounds crazy to me.
Well, but it's also knowing your players, right? Like, that's like the best coaches I've ever had, and I stand by this, is the coaches that take the time to understand what motivates each player. And that's your job, is to know what motivates each player. Some guys need to be pushed hard. Some guys need to be coddled. Some guys you need to take aside and tell them how good they are, whatever it is. So clearly for him, airing his players out in the media, he doesn't feel like he's going to help his team. And I can imagine that's probably because he played for the Yankees and understands how hard it is just to play on the Yankees, let alone now I got the fans, the media, and now I'm going to pile on top of that and start airing guys out in the media. Like, that's not going to help. Like, you're trying to relieve. Like, for him right now, he's trying to relieve pressure on Frankie Montas because he realizes, like, there's high expectations. This guy was pitching in freaking Oakland, and now he's asked to step in and be your game two starter in the postseason. Like, that's the toughest part, I would imagine, if you're Brian Cashman. And the reason why, and we've seen it happen plenty of times, like, that's the wild card in this whole thing. Like, it may look good, but it may look good in Oakland. It may look good in Texas. But all of a sudden now, like, what's it going to look like when, like, for Matt Carpenter, it looked great, right? Like, he's on the scrap heap. We bring him, like, you guys bring him in, and he's, like, we're talking about how big a loss he is. And there's other guys that come highly regarded that were great somewhere else and then step in here and they can't handle it. They stink.
It's also a standard. We're going to hold Boone to a standard that we're literally not holding anyone else to. Who's the manager in baseball just out there airing his players out during press conferences?
You got a manager right now in baseball that is listening to the fans on whether or not the pitch run.
The pitch run. And they're calling for him to be fired out there.
And it turned out to be the right move.
It was the right move. But listen, I'm not even saying Aaron Boone's a fantastic manager. We've gotten to a point in baseball where it's really hard to judge and analyze just how good, how effective a manager is because we don't know, like, to what degree he's making the decisions. But to come here and say he's the reason why they're this bad, I just can't listen to
everything. Everything as a Yankees fan that you complained about coming into this season had been fixed. You were the best defensive team in the league. Your starting rotation was the best in the league. Your bullpen was the best in the league. You hit the most home runs in the league. You were scoring the most runs in the league. Everything that you wanted fixed. You were striking out less. You were stealing bases. You were hitting and running. Everything. Hell, you won a game on a squeeze bunt the other day. Like, everything that you wanted fixed was fixed. And now, because of injury and every other, like, all the other things involved in this, like, last night it was, you know, bad starting pitching. Offense wasn't good. Defensive blunder. I mean, Albert Abreu's a freaking gas can, man. Like, I don't know how much longer you can keep throwing him out. And it'd be nice if you could maybe sprinkle in, like, an out for George Springer would be nice. Would help.
Here you go, 5 for 5 last night.
Yeah, I mean, what are we talking about?
I mean, he was killing you when he played with the Astros. Now he's killing you with the Blue Jays. By the way, something just happened. I don't know if you guys caught it, but I guess...
Don't even say it, because I caught myself. Don't even say it.
I guess apparently things are going so bad for the Mets in Atlanta... Rick has now changed his allegiance. He's now a Yankee fan. Because in case you missed it, Rick just said we brought in Matt Carpenter.
No, that was French Rick.
We. So who's the we? Is it? Are you speaking for Yankee fans as a Yankee fan? Like, things are that bad at flushing for your Mets?
I'm trying to endear myself to Yankees fans. I'm putting myself in your shoes.
So, I mean, I'm just surrounded by guys who are frauds. Ray yesterday's like, I wouldn't be mad if the Mets got to the World Series and played the Yankees. I wouldn't be mad if the Mets won. You're calling yourself a Yankee fan. What's happening here? Here's the thing.
I watch more Yankees. I watch more Yankees games than you.
How's that?
Boston Red Sox Yankees, and you're flipping around on Stranger Things.
Come on. We're not going to let that escape, man, because that just happened. It's going to live forever. More Yankees calls coming up. We will get into the Mets and the struggle that was losing 3 or 4 in Atlanta, but no reason to panic. You got a Phillies team coming up who you should handle. But then gets interesting. Mets-Yankees next week, so we'll talk about that as well. Get to football. Aaron Boone, we'll still hear from him. More of your phone calls coming up right here on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Oh, this is a guy with taste. You know what this theme song is, right, Rick?
I'm so down on you right now.
Oh, what happened?
Because I'm trying to be empathetic.
Stranger Things, by the way. But go ahead.
I know, of course, thanks. I'm trying to be empathetic and put myself in your shoes and be like, try to be a good friend to you. And I one slip up, I say we, and all of a sudden I'm attacked.
Okay, so we're not that far removed. From just yesterday, toward the ending of the show, I am teeing up a clip from Mike Tannenbaum talking about Brian Daboll making a rookie mistake. And I fumbled a little bit. Fumbled the snap, but I was able to corral it, get the playback on. And you know what you said to me? Very well said. which was a great line.
I was trying to make you feel good.
Very well. It was so funny. I actually went back to my wife and I talked to her about it last night. I was like, Rick, that guy. She's like, how do you like working with Rick? I'm like, I love it. We're synergized. He's funny. He doesn't take himself too seriously. That's my kind of guy. Funniest thing that happened today was I'm clearly mishandling this talk. Which, by the way, like the way it's set up, they name it. All you have to do is just read the description. And I try to do too much and I start slipping up. And then, you know, you saw what happened. But you said, very well said. And obviously it wasn't very well said.
It's not an easy job, bud.
So
doing what you're doing is not an easy job.
I'm going to make fun of you every chance I get. But it feels good to know that I get to, along with another Yankee fan, vent about this team struggling the rest of the way. The 2 hours and 20 minutes, two Yankee fans talking to more Yankee fans about the struggles.
Yeah, don't listen. I'm here for you guys. I'm here for you. I got my own problems. We'll talk about those later.
We will.
But right now, let's hear from the Yankee fan because they're actually finally fired up. It's about time.
Finally, it is about time. Let's go to Tony in Staten Island. What's up, Tony?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Depends. Not doing very well after watching the Yankees last night, but all things considered, blessed and highly favored.
You got to keep things in perspective. The way the team is currently constituted, I don't think they're winning a World Series anyway. So just kind of enjoy whatever's going on now. Rick, I've got a question for you as a professional athlete.
Yep.
Do the players realize when these trades are made and like a Montgomery leaves, you bring in a Montas, you bring in a Benintendi, you have a shot at Soto, you don't want to really get rid of anybody good on your minor leagues, don't know how these guys are going to pan out. How does that affect the player psychologically?
Well, listen, I mean, a couple things. So I've told you guys this a bunch of different times, just about the deadline and how stressful it is. But it's also exciting. And a team like the Yankees, the Mets, any team that feels like they have a chance to actually compete, they want to be all in. We want to be all in. Like players know, we know what we need to take that next step. We know who's available, best players available. And those are the guys you want. Like, I'm sure that, you know, the Yankees players realized, okay, we're gonna do something here to solidify our rotation. We faced these guys before. Castillo's the guy that we want. And
let me ask you a question, Rick. As far as coaching, before you guys cut me off,
no, we're not
how much
cut you
does
off.
A manager? I'm sorry. Okay, continue then. I just wanted to ask you about the psychological.
Finish. Yeah. Go ask the question.
Go ahead.
No. Sorry. Ask the question. I'm interested. This is an Aaron Boone question.
Well, yeah, there's an Aaron Boone question. How much does a manager or a coach motivate you? I mean, when things are down, do you look for any type of leadership out of that position? You don't. Okay.
No. I mean, we'll have meetings. Like some of the biggest wastes of time ever are the closed door
player meetings, players only.
Yeah, like player coach meetings. Like we had like GM coach and player meetings. Mike Milbury came in. I don't know if you've been on the show when I told this story, but Milbury came in. And his thing was, like, if we played a bad game to get back at us, he would make us practice and then come back to the rink and watch the whole game over. And he's like, if I had to watch this game, you guys got to watch it, so we'd have to sit there and watch it. So we had one of those, and he comes in before we have to watch this game, and he's going through, like, he's punching the whiteboard, you guys stink, and, like, just ripping us. And I'm sitting right next to him, and I can't, like, for some reason in meetings like this, I get real uncomfortable where I just, like, I think it's funny, and I start, like, almost giggling, laughing. So at one point, he looks at me and goes, and throws a dictionary at me, and he's like,
oh, no.
He's like, Rick, what's the definition of professionalism? And he had, like, the page set and highlighted. And like an idiot, I'm like, of or pertaining to a professional. And he's like, no, that's not it, you idiot. And it ruined the entire meeting.
That's my favorite Rick moment so far.
Yeah, just the whole meeting ruined.
Of or pertaining to a profession.
he was so mad, man. It was.
What was the answer he was looking for?
I guess I think it was underneath where it was like the actual definition of professionalism.
But did you do that on purpose?
Maybe.
You was playing a game?
Yeah, maybe. It's like it's too uptight, man. It's like it's not what we needed at the time. Like it's just the whole idea of a manager coming in and getting you fired up and breaking stuff, like. You got to know your team. Sometimes that can get guys fired up. And, like when you're struggling, like, sometimes they'll have the video guy. Like, we would always have the video guy put together, like, a montage of, like, highlights with music. So you get, like, you hear the music and you watch the, like, big hits, fights, guys scoring goals. You're like, let's go get them. And then, like, I don't care how fired up the Yankees were last night. The second Montas lets up five runs in the second inning, it's like.
It's deflating.
It's gone.
Yeah, it's you phrased it. I mean, the way Kay had it last night, momentum is only you know, as good as the next day's starting pitcher. You come off the thrill of that victory last night or 2 nights ago with Donaldson hitting the walk-off grand slam, one of the biggest wins of the season considering the circumstances, and then immediately in the blink of an eye, you're down 5-0. It's really hard to win that way. So I don't care if, you know, he's coming to the press conference and he's airing guys out. If your starting pitching is not going to be good and, you know, 30 minutes into the game, you're already down 5 runs, it's really hard to overcome that. Eli's in Washingtonville. He wants to chop it up. What's up, Eli?
Yeah, how you doing, guys? Listen, I was not going to call today because I didn't really get hung up on. But, listen, when it comes to the Yankees, this is all Brian Cashman's fault. And, you know, I'm not going to apologize for being a Yankee fan because we don't like second place ribbons. We don't like participation trophies. You know what? We want to win a championship. And we see season after season, fine, you built for 162, but when it comes to the playoffs, everything's a crapshoot. And now the team is even falling apart, even before the playoffs. Now, these moves that Cashman has made has, you know, obviously not panned out. And, you know, Aaron Boone, I'm not blaming it on him, but there's certain losses that you could just pinpoint to him. Like the other day when he takes out Nestor Cortez when he's pitching a one hitter and he rushes into the bullpen and the bullpen gives up the game. The other night bringing in Chapman. I know we won, but you know bringing in Chapman in the wrong situation.
Nah, that's not fair. That's not fair, Eli. Chapman has been pitching very well.
And then the IKF, he brings in Aaron Hicks to pinch hit. Like there's things that he does that. You know, makes you scratch your head. And I'm not even going to go to the 2020 Garcia incident when he brought in Hap. Like, this is it's like year after year, you know, we want to win a championship. And that's a mission statement of the Yankees. And you're not going to lie to the team, to the fans, and then do mediocre trades. When you're supposed to bring in Castillo, and you think all your prospects are Babe Ruth.
Yeah, but that was it, though. I mean, no one was complaining when they got Benintendi. Everyone was happy that they got Benintendi. I know we took phone calls. People were confused as to why they traded Montgomery. And we had Buster on. He gave us the answer. And then, you know, the whole idea that they didn't get Luis Castillo. I mean.
Can I ask you a question?
I don't know, man. Are you going to really, like, give up? I get it. Like, that's the guy that you wanted. But we don't actually know what the deal, like, what. Which deal would have got it done? You know what I'm saying? Like, are you throwing, like, how many Yankees fans would call in right now and say, yeah, Volpe, yeah, no problem. Dominguez, throw whatever they want for Luis Castillo.
I just don't know that Yankee fans necessarily trust. I mean, we have enough evidence that these prospects, for the most part, are overhyped. Like, when's the last time the Yankees brought up a prospect? And it panned out. Like, Aaron Judge, obviously.
Gary Sanchez was great when he first came up.
Yeah, but then what happened?
Gleyber.
Fell apart. Gleyber wasn't a Yankee prospect. Remember, they got him in the deal with the Cubs.
Okay, but look at those deals. Brian Cashman was a genius when he made those moves.
Yeah, but we're talking about Yankee fans taking exception to this team overvaluing its prospects, where it stymies them. In terms of not getting the arms that you need or going out there and making the big splashes. You just look at recent history. These prospects just haven't panned out. Judge being the exception. But even with Severino, who when he's healthy, he's good, he's been injury prone. You look all throughout this Yankee lineup, LeMahieu, not a prospect. Judge worked out. But Rizzo, Donaldson, Benintendi, Torres, like Trevino. Like, these guys weren't prospects. These were acquisitions from other teams. So we keep being sold on the young guys. The young guys got to hold on to them. But then, you know, Phil Hughes, Jabba Chamberlain, Greg Bird. The list goes on and on about all these prospects who we were sold on that just didn't pan out.
Yeah, I understand that. And I mean, prospects is hope. Like, you're selling, like, draft picks, prospects. It's all hope for the future. And what I take offense to sometimes is, though, just like some of the Aaron Boone criticism, and I get it. Like, everyone, when you're in the midst of a slump, the way the Yankees are slumping right now, there's blame to go around. Like, some of the decisions Aaron Boone makes are not always going to be the right decisions. Guys got to show up, and they have to, you know, they have to make plays, get big hits. Starting pitchers have to go out and give you quality starts. The bullpen has to come in and do their job, right? Like Chapman has to come in and do his job. Because you're right, he has pitched well. But it's like, to think that like these moves are just being made willy-nilly, like it's just like, like there's a lot of thought that goes into these moves. There's like a lot of preparation that goes into this, like this rhyme and reason as to why Brian Cashman does the things he does. Now, he's not always right, but like a majority of the stuff he does, like what, they got Clay Holmes. Like Clay Holmes was the best closer in baseball. He was an all-star. Trevino, all-star. Like, I mean, it goes out and get Didi. And if people want a Didi out in like the first 2 weeks, like this guy's awful, get rid of him. And he's unbelievable for you guys at shortstop. And then there's going to be misses. And we always focus on the misses, but
the misses hit harder, especially when you're sold on a Yankee team being all in, trying to win a championship. And then you go out there and you acquire a guy who's supposed to be the missing piece, and it's Sonny Gray blows up in your face. Frankie Montas' early returns, not great. It's just every single time you're close to a championship, at least in recent history, post-2009, it just doesn't feel like Cashman has had the ability and has succeeded at acquiring the guy who was able to push this team over the hump. Remember, Verlander was out there to be had in 2017. Astros went out and got him. They won a championship. Michael Brantley was a guy that was floated around as far as coming to New York and helping this Yankee lineup become more circular. He went to the Astros. So it's just every time, man, you're this close, you keep losing the same reason. Starting rotation, and you went out and got a guy, and so far he hasn't been good. We go to Israel to talk to Yov. What's up, Yov?
Good morning, Ty. Good morning, Rick. How are you guys doing this morning?
Oh, we good, man. We good.
So, Rick, I don't know if you remember, but I called last week on Friday, and I asked you to bring on your game because Dave is off this week. And, man, oh, man, did you bring on your game, man. You well earned this vacation. It's coming for you next week. Next week, I mean, it was a great week for you. You carried the show, although, Ty, you were great, too. I mean, you surprised me. It was a great show for you guys this week, yeah.
Thank you, Yov. That means a lot coming from you. You know how much we love you.
Yeah. So, anyways, guys, I mean, everybody, even you, everybody talks about the Yankees getting to October, and that's why they make the Montgomery trade. But can we get home advantage in playoffs? Can we play one series against Houston when game 6 and 7 is Yankee Stadium and not Minute Maid Park? Everybody's talked about how Yankees getting ready to October instead of looking of how they've blown 8-game leads over the Houston Astros. And that home field advantage is huge things, and people just dismissed it. I just don't understand it.
Well, I get what you're saying, and I think there was a lot of people at the time, because we had heard Torres' name being mentioned, that wasn't going to be the final move. Montgomery would go out, Bader would come in, and then Cashman would find either Rodon or Lowe, whoever it was, that they would make another deal and you'd add, you know, another pitcher to the rotation. That doesn't happen. But here's the thing about being a GM, and you know, I was lucky enough during my career to kind of be, you know, involved in some free agency stuff, like trying to recruit players. Like, you can't be hyper-focused on the moment as a GM. Like, the GM's job, like, that's the coach's job, to be focused on today's game, like, trying to win today's game. The GM has to focus on what's good for the team now and what's going to be good for this team in the future. So part of the reason why they made that Montgomery move, because I was thinking the same thing to myself, like, let's prioritize, like, the regular season here a little bit, because you want home field advantage in the postseason if you're going to get through Houston, is, you know, we've been looking for a guy who can play good. Like, we need a full-time center fielder. And it just so happens that in the moment, during this deadline, the Cardinals are looking for pitching, and we're willing to give up Harrison Bader, who's one of the best defensive center fielders in all of baseball, who is also under contract for you for next year. So now I've solved that problem for the stretch run when he comes back and all of next season, as opposed to, you know, Montgomery, who's going to make, you know, he's going to be up for arbitration and make more money again next year. So I get the frustration, but you can't make moves as a GM just in that moment. You also have to, you know, make
Rick,
a move
I wanna ask you
and
this.
How it's going to affect you later.
I want to ask you this. So every time it seems like Cashman is thinking about the futures, oh, we want to win championship. It's not about one championship. And Cashman, man, I'm a fan. Let's just get to the World Series. You know what? forget about winning championships. Let's get shot to the World Series. You always think about the future. Let's not think about it October. Let's not think about that we're not going to use Jordan Montgomery. Let's think about winning home advantage and putting ourselves in the best position to get in the World Series. Forget about the future. It's always about the future. Win for now, and then we will talk about the future. You know what I mean?
I agree with that, yo, and I appreciate the call, Rick. It's easy to, when you're in the 90s, winning championships every year, to talk about prioritizing the future, not wanting to sacrifice, you know, a championship for one championship. But 13 years removed from your last World Series appearance, it's time to start focusing on the now. I don't want to hear about the package or the price being too high for Luis Castillo when in all likelihood, that could be the missing ingredient to you winning a championship.
Yeah, but you don't know, though. So I think Brian Cashman, and he should have never said what he said. Like, he should have never made it, I want to win championships, not a championship. Like, that should have never come out of his mouth. Like, if you really think that the postseason is a crapshoot, you should have never said that, because that set the agenda for this fan base. That's what they expect. Like, it just what. If you're real, like if you're deep down, your mindset is that the postseason, so much can happen in the postseason that it's essentially a crapshoot. Then if that's the case, you would want to give yourself as many opportunities as humanly possible to be involved in that crapshoot, and then at some point you're going to break through and you're going to win a World Series. So in his mind, what happens if I do decide I want to get rid of Volpe, Peraza, Dominguez, whoever it takes to get Luis Castillo, and we don't win? What now?
Well, you haven't been winning, so
no. But you keep giving yourself an opportunity to win. You keep putting yourself into the crapshoot to try to win. Like, what's gonna, like? You don't think when they made, like, when the Padres made all the moves they made this deadline, that they thought they were gonna, they put themselves right there to win a World Series, and then what happens? Oh yeah, my best player decided to get. That he could potentially have ringworm and wanted to take a PED, banned substance. And now we don't get him.
I mean, listen, as a Yankee fan, and I know you're a Yankee fan too, so we can both agree that when you watch the best teams in baseball in those given seasons, the Astros, the Dodgers make big moves to help them win championships, and they cash in on it.
The Dodgers didn't make any moves this offseason.
No. I'm saying when they won, like they had... Well, they went 100 games, and then they went out there and traded for Mookie Betts. You know, the Astros were good. They went out there and traded for Verlander.
What do you mean? You went out and traded for Stanton. You signed Garrett Cole.
Yeah, and it hasn't been enough. That's the point. It has not been enough.
But it should be.
And maybe it would have been if Garrett Cole were the same pitcher he was in Houston. But, I mean, take sticky tack away, spider tack, whatever it is, and all of a sudden you have question marks about him. But we're having so much fun. We're going to do this for another 2 hours. So 800-919-3776. See, the Yankee call is still coming in. We will continue to get to you guys. But got to talk about the Mets. I know Rick has been trying his hardest to avoid it. He wants to pile on to the Yankees. But we got to talk about what happened to the Mets in Atlanta as they get ready for a big series against the Phillies before they come back to the Bronx to play the Yankees. So 2 more hours to play with right here on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.